I must say, this being my first time to speak during Lent, this message has been a struggle. In fact, it was a struggle till 4:15 a.m. this morning. You know, I find it strange. There are certain times when God puts something on your heart that you truly think is right, then Satan always tries to tug at that what is right. And so, you know, I went outside the of the electoral speaking of Lent and put on what God put on his heart. And I shared a story that's it was about a boxer who was being pummeled in the ring by his opponent. And blow after blow by his adversary left him with a bloody nose, swollen eyes, and an enormous amount of pain. The batter boxer's trainer, trying to encourage his man between the rounds, kept telling him, "You're doing great, Fred. That bum is barely touching you." To which the boxer responded, "Then you better keep your eye on the referee because someone is killing me." No amount of smooth talk could camouflage the reality of the bloody battle in which this fighter was engaged. Psychology, correct talk, and personal encouragement could not mask the pain that he was suffering. In the same way, you and I are engaged in a real battle. One of cosmic proportions that we know we are facing a real opponent. Because this world bears the bloody, painful scars of this conflict. War among nations, shattered lives, broken homes, suicide, child abuse, and morality of every kind. My goal is to help you see that this battle in which you and I are engaged in first and foremost, is the Lord's battle, not ours. Only when we see this will we be able to wage the victorious spiritual warfare. I have a declaration to make to you. You are at war. Are you prepared? In fact, we are engaged right now in the mother of all battles. No war in history can compare with the battle you and I are fighting. It can be either the cause of your greatest joy as a Christian or your deepest pain as a Christian. And the question is, are you prepared? The war I'm talking about is the spiritual warfare that you became part of the day you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The same warfare that Jesus faced in the wilderness. The war affects every area of your life. There is no way you can avoid the conflict. There is no bunker foxhole that you can crawl into that will shield you from the effects of the battle between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. A lot of Christians don't even know they're at war. But others can see the results of the battle in their lives because they have become casualties of spiritual warfare. They are discouraged, depressed, downtrodden, and defeated. Others are material and family casualties. Divorce, conflict, and abuse are some of the battle scars these believers bear. Since we are at war, and since there is so much at stake both here on earth and eternity, we better find out what spiritual warfare is about and how to fight the battle successfully. Let me begin by stating the obvious. The essence of the war we are talking about is spiritual. Spiritual warfare is that conflict being waged in the visible and spiritual realm that is being manifest in the visible physical realm. In other words, spiritual warfare is a battle between the invisible angelical forces that affect you and me. The cause of the war is something you and I can't see. But the effects are very visible in the kind of problems I mentioned earlier in the day-to-day stuff you and I face all the time. It's hard enough to fight an enemy you can't see. You can see. It's much harder to fight someone you can't see. In his classic statement on spiritual warfare, Paul wrote, "Our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places," which we read in Ephesians 6:12. So the question is, are you prepared? This verse identifies the enemy, Satan and his demons. We'll develop all of this as we go along, but the point I want you to see here is that we make a big mistake if we think people are the real problem. People can be bad, no doubt, but as bad as people can be, they are merely conduits for this greater battle. Satan has been successful in getting us to fight people rather than fighting which is causing people to be what they are or how they are. All of us have tried to change people who are not doing right, right? We've tried that. What we need to understand that is what happens through people, including you and me, has its roots in something much larger. The facts does not excuse the wrong things people do. They are still responsible, but it helps us focus on the real enemy. Everything we see is visible. Physical realm is caused, provoked, or at least influenced by something, the invisible spiritual realm. There are two worldviews. Your worldview is simply the lens through which you perceive reality. There are really only two categories of worldviews. One is a natural or materialistic worldview that people today call the scientific worldview. This view says that man, by his reason, can figure out how the world works. People who hold this view seek life's answers in the natural realm. If you can put it in a test tube, examine it under a microscope, or explain it through natural processes, that's all you need. The naturalistic view is not sufficient because it is limited to the physical realm. Therefore, it doesn't answer the ultimate question, who are you, where you came from, and why you are here? The naturalistic worldview also doesn't explain things why teenagers are killing each other and why moral standards or mankind are being eroded. This view does not address the invisible part of the human beings, the soul and the spirit. The second category of worldviews is the spiritual worldview, which says there is a realm outside of the physical. A spiritual worldview is a very popular right now, but unfortunately it is often not biblically based. Instead, it is a man-centered view that believes in any form of spirituality that seems to pay off. This is the world of horoscopes, palm readers, and all sorts of New Age teaching. Obviously, it is not the worldview of the Bible. Is it possible to have a spiritual worldview that is plugged into the wrong spirit? Your worldview affects your approach to spiritual warfare because it's the colors, the way you see non-material world. And it determines whether you even believe in a spiritual realm. In order to understand spiritual warfare, we have to address it through the lens of the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. Even though the battle we are talking about is spiritual in nature, it has very definite effects in the visible physical realm. You know there are a battle when you get shot and are bleeding. We are seeing the bleeding, the result of a spiritual warfare in at least four areas of life today. The first area, the battle effect of personal life. Many believers are seeing the wounds of spiritual warfare in their personal lives. This doesn't mean that these people are doing something really bad. It could be that they have a problem such as uncontrolled anger. Our emotions give the devil an entry into our lives. To see the relationship between our emotions and our spiritual welfare, look at several familiar verses in Ephesians. Therefore, laying aside the falsehood, speak truth each one of you, which his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be anger and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity, which we find in Ephesians 4:25-27. Please notice that failing to control anger grants the devil an opportunity to get a foothold in your life. Then he can use it as a base of operations to launch more spiritual attacks against you. Many Christians are suffering today because of anger that was not resolved yesterday. And anger is just one in an assortment of human emotions. If Satan can seize our emotions, he can destroy to function by crippling us emotionally or leading us into a manner of destructive and addictive behavior. Number two, this battle affects your family. Many believers are also feeling the effects of spiritual warfare in their families. The devil messed up the first family in the Garden of Eden, and we have been dealing with the effects of Adam and Eve's sin ever since. Let me give you an example of family relationships and spiritual warfare. Paul wrote to the husbands and wife in 1 Corinthians 7:5, said, "Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Paul is saying that when a husband and a wife don't have a fulfilling relationship, the devil sees that lack as an opportunity to come in and bring about moral destruction in the family. So this thing of spiritual warfare gets right down to the nitty-gritty aspects of everyday life. Number three, the battle affects life. Spiritual warfare also has an impact on the church life. Paul told Timothy to watch out for doctrines of demons that will infiltrate the church. The church is being undermined by many places today by teachers who claim to teach the Bible but are teaching doctrines from hell. Anyone can quote the Bible, but we need to be like the Bereans who checked out that what Paul and Silas were teaching them to see whether their teachings agreed with the scriptures. And finally, spiritual warfare affects the life of a nation, the culture of which we live. According to the passages like Daniel 10, the entire nations are influenced by invisible battle in the angelical realm. Satan is called the prince of power of the air with good reason. And boy, are we seeing it today in our media. There's no place that we can go to escape the effect of spiritual warfare. We need to learn how to fight. We need to be prepared. Our ability to deal with the spiritual realm will determine whether we win or lose in the physical realm. Satan's job is to get us to ignore spiritual realm or to give it low value. If he can divert us from spiritual realm, he can divert us from finding the spiritual solutions. Where in the universe is this great battle called spiritual warfare being fought? Paul tells us it's in the heavenly places, in Ephesians 6:12, which means the spiritual realm. In the Bible, the world heaven describes three levels of existence. First one we see in 2 Corinthians 12:2. The first heaven is the atmosphere that surrounds the earth, the environment in which we live. The second heaven is what we commonly refer to as the outer space, the heavens where the stars and planets exist. This is also a realm which angels operate, because in the Bible, angels are often called stars, which we find in Job 38:7. The third heaven is the throne room of God, the place where we normally think of when we hear the word heaven. It is about this heaven that the Bible has the most to say. In the book Ephesians alone, we find numerous references to heavenly places in addition to the reference in 6:12. Ephesians 1:3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." This verse tells us that God resides in the heavenly places, and so do our spiritual blessings. This is important because if you are engaged in a spiritual battle and need help to win, the help you need is with God the Father, who is in the heavenly places. But if you don't know how to get the heavenly places, then you don't know how to get the heavenly help, then you need to win the battle in those earthly places. According to Ephesians 1:20, when God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he seated his Son at his right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says that God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And in Ephesians 3:10, it tells us that the spiritual rulers and authorities are there. This is important from the standpoint of our spiritual warfare because it takes an angel to beat an angel. Remember, Satan said his demons are also in the heavenly places in Ephesians 6:12. Revelation 12 depicts a day when the invisible warfare in the heavenly places will break out in very visible form. And in verse 7, it shows us the enemy is in conflict called spiritual warfare. And this war was won in heaven. Michael and his angels raging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels raged war. The archangel Michael and the holy angels are fighting Satan, and the angels who rebelled with him battle in this angelic war. We are surrounded by spiritual enemy, but the battle is not for the land or anything physical. You know what this battle is for, people? This battle is for glory. The issue, who is going to get the glory in the universe? Who is going to be worshipped? Satan said to God, "You cannot have all the glory in this creation. I want some of the glory for myself." God's response was, "My glory I will not give to another." Satan said, "Then you are going to share glory with me. Let's go to war. The battle for glory for the throne of creation." God, praise God, the outcome has never been in doubt. But the battle goes on every day in our personal, family, church, and community lives. And also to who those will get the glory by what we do. That's why Paul taught us, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. What is Satan's battle strategy in spiritual warfare? Paul outlined the strategy of the devil speaking to his carnal church. The apostle wrote, "I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of the devotion to Christ." Satan's battle strategy is simple. He is out to deceive us, to trick us into buying his lies and temptations. He's been at the plan for countless years, and he's good at it. Paul even said that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Now, some will say, that's a pretty strong sermon, Jeff, for this time of Lent. But I think this time is about getting it right with God. This time that our hearts are tested. This is the time that our commitment is tested. And this is the time that the church is tested. And this is the time to see if you are prepared. Amen. I'll stand and